first of all say good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly thankful to see each and every one that has come out to be with us this morning. And certainly good to be able to see Brother Mark back with us this morning. I know he was real deeply missed by all of us, and we're so thankful that God has allowed him to be back with us. And we're so thankful for Brother Dale and Sister Beverly and them being back and in our presence today as well. I know Brother Dale has been out preaching some, as he ought to, and I'm so thankful for that. And so, but it's so good to see them, so good to see each and every one of you. Thankful for the good piano playing and good bass playing by Brother Danny, and good song leading by Sister Rachel. And thank you, Brother Merle, for helping out with the singing today as well. And I like the last song that we sung. I like all of them, but I especially like the last song that we sung. I'm so thankful today that there is still victory in Jesus. And if you're lost and separated from God, you don't know that victory today. But I'm thankful today that when the Lord saved my soul, I was able and still able today to exclaim that through Jesus, I have won the victory. The victory of death, the victory of sin, the victory of having a home after this life. And I'm able to stand and praise God that there is victory in Jesus this morning. And I'm so glad for the promises that God has given His children. This morning, we don't want to tarry too long in our preliminary remarks, but we do ask this morning to follow the leadership of the God this morning. So I wonder at this time if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts, whether there be a praise or a prayer request or anything that they just feel like needs to be said or done this morning.
I'd like to take a picture of some flowers for my mom. They were beautiful. I appreciate everybody that's shown concern, those that came, anybody that's contacted us, and I really appreciate it.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm so thankful to know that
she's rejoicing today. Amen. Amen. There's a song that I've been humming the last couple of days, and it is, "What will I leave behind after I leave for worlds unknown? What will I leave behind?" And I'm thankful that there are still those that when they pass from death to life, that they still leave behind a testimony. So, anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's do be prayerful for Jim and Sister Gail this morning. I know Jim there. He was at the funeral Friday as well. I'd say this, with the Lord's help, Brother Dale preached a good message Friday. I've been praying that the gospel seed has been planted in the hearts of those that were lost. I pray that God would just break the stony heart of those that are lost and separated from Him, that they might know Him and the free pardon of sin. So let's be prayerful for this request this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their heart?
Here before that, Randy and I were married here.
Amen.
And I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
I just thank God for this little church that is still standing after almost 40 years of my being known about it. But I know that Randy and Danny's known this church ever since it started. And a lot of you, when I came here the first time, I wasn't even born yet. You know, and look at all of you now. I'm just grateful for all the faces I see today. It blesses me. I can just imagine what our Lord feels today when he sees all of his kids in his
Lord
house.
Help.
You know, he feels blessed and he's happy.
Amen.
I want to let you all know I love each and every one of you. You're all special to me and Randy. We love you all, and thanks for coming today. And
amen.
I just thank God for that song.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this praise this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done? Amen. 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 Thankful for this praise this morning. And ain't you glad that God still hears and answers prayers today? I'm so thankful that I not only serve a God, but I serve the living God. So I'm so thankful for this praise. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? Amen. 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 God bless you. Certainly thankful for this praise this morning. Anybody else have anything on their heart? Anything at all?
For the mind taking to remember us, we're still waiting on the biopsies to come back. And,
amen.
Just still continue to remember us, please.
Yeah. Yeah. But certainly do we continue to remember Sister Cheryl and Brother Mark in our prayers today.
I want to say also this morning, Brother Mike, that Gail's mother in law wasn't Gail when they passed away. Jim's niece.
Amen. Amen. Let's certainly do remember the family of Sister Gail and Jim this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? God help. God help. Amen. It is. It is, you know. That's the thing about death. We never know when it's going to happen, you know. I like to look at it like this, you know. It's appointed. A man wants to die. You go get you a carton of milk there at the grocery store. It's got an expiration date. You know, we've all got an expiration date. We don't know what that day is. But you need to be ready. You need to be ready. I've known the people who have passed. You know, my great-grandmother, she passed away when she was 98 years old. And then I had an uncle that passed away at 50. And then I had some people I went to school with passed away when they was 10, 14. Really young ages. So you need to be ready. You never know when it's going to happen. Wonder at this time if anybody else has anything upon their hearts this morning. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Certainly thankful for this praise and testimony this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their heart? Amen.
60 years, ignored him. He took me anyway. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
He's there. He's always going to be there. No matter how old you are
or
young you are, he can't
say
he will.
Amen. Certainly thankful for this praise this morning. And certainly like what you said, Brother Keith, it doesn't matter how young or how old, God can still save. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Anything at all feel like needs to be said or done? If not, then at this time we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let us do be mindful of the prayer request that was made mention this morning. Let us do be mindful of the service and be prayerful for it, that God would continue to move about with his children, that the Lord would get all honor and glory this morning. Let us above all pray for those that are lost and separated from God this morning. If nothing else needs to be said or done, I'd like to ask Brother Mark, if you don't mind, lead our hearts in a word of prayer. We'd like to ask this morning, before we go any further in the service, there might be anything upon anybody's hearts that they feel like needs to be said or done. If not, then we'll go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts for this morning. Got your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm going to take a reading lesson out of the first chapter or first division of the book of Psalms. I'm going to read the first three verses there, unless the Lord moves on our hearts to go further with that. But the writer of the psalm here, in the first chapter or division, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And I want to use, for a thought this morning, in that third verse, where it says, "And he shall be like a tree, like a tree planted by the rivers of water." As I was beginning to think and to pray upon this verse of scripture that God has placed upon our hearts, I was so confused as to why that stood out in my hearts among the rest of the chapter. And as I began to pray and talk to the Lord about this and to have understanding, we're going to talk a little bit about trees this morning. And I don't really know much about trees or plants. I'm sure Brother Steve, after I'm done, he could tell you more about them than what I know. But my mind came back to a tree. And, you know, I recall a couple years ago as I was in middle school, we were given the assignment of having a little tree given to us. And the tree, we had to plant in our yards, and we had to figure out what would help them to grow and how long it would take for them to grow. And of course, as you can imagine, it takes quite some time for a tree to fully grow. Matter of fact, a tree that even bears fruits like an apple tree, but I've in my studies and research says it takes probably to about 3 to 5 years before you can even see the first fruits come upon it. It takes quite a bit of time for them to grow and to mature. But you see, the thing about trees and plants, you know, we grew up gardening a lot in Mom and Dad's house, and I really enjoyed it. But what I found out is what would help them to grow a whole lot was not just sunlight. And I would get it in my mind sometimes that the waters was okay, that the plants were okay if they went a couple days without water because they had sunlight to grow from. But you see, what I nearly found out is that it was a mixture between the two. It needed water just as much as it needed sunlight. And it needed sunlight just as much as it needed water. You see, we read in Colossians that after we are saved by the grace of God, that we are then to be rooted in God and rooted in Jesus Christ. Last year when we were headed back, when we were headed to our house down in Tennessee, we drove by one of our neighbors and they were in the middle of trying to dig out a tree in their front yard. And so they got a company to help them with that. And the next day, there was such a big crater that was in their yard because the root was just not only big and strong, but it was planted so deep down in there. And you see, today, folks, we need, if you've been saved by the grace of God, I'm going to get this out of the way, but we need to make sure that we are rooted in nothing else except through and by Jesus Christ. Because it is only by Him that we are able to grow. It is only by Him that ourselves, spiritually, we are able to mature. And you see a tree and a plant there. You see, their job isn't to just look pretty before the world, but there's some there that needs to bring forth fruit. And you see, as saved individuals, what is it that we need to do? We need to bring forth fruit. We read in John 15 that Jesus was talking about the vine and the branches. And He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, and without Me you can do nothing." It is because all the nutrients that cause us to grow, it only comes from Him. All the things in this life that we have, the joys, the spiritual joy, if we want to sit in heavenly places, it comes from Him. You can't find that out there in this world. There was a time in my life where I had tried everything else, trying to find joy, trying to find happiness, trying to find peace out in the world. And let me tell you, all that's out there in the world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, if you go after that, you will find nothing but misery and sorrow. You will find nothing. No kind of joy, no kind of peace or pleasure. But I can tell you where you can find it in and who you can find it in. And that's in Jesus Christ. See, so the psalmist, he starts out in this first chapter. And there's only six verses in this chapter or division there. And the first three, it talks about the righteous man, the saved individual. And then the next three, it talks about the wicked man, the one that is lost and separated from God. And it starts off that blessed is the man, happy is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who doesn't stand in the way of the sinners, who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God. And he meditates upon it day and night. He chases after it. You see, we read of David there when Samuel went out to find Jerusalem, another king. You see, we read of David that he was given the nickname, a man after God's own heart. And I know I've said this a couple times, but a couple years ago, I was curious as to what a man after God's own heart meant. Growing up, I always heard about it, but I never fully comprehended it in my mind. And so I went a few weeks and done some digging and some praying, and I came back with the result that a man that is after God's heart is a man that has the will of God in the center of his life. That's all he cares about. That's all he cares about is the will of God. And that's all he cares about is just chasing after the desires of God. We read of Jesus in Matthew how he says, "Set not your affection on here of the things of the earth, but yet set them upon things above, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think sometimes today I have too much of my heart and my mind upon the things that's out there in this life, and not enough on God. And I'm not trying to point fingers or nothing, but that's just the problem that I've got. And I know that if it's a problem I got, then it's a problem that other individuals have. How we think that coming to church and listening to the preacher and coming to Sunday school, how that helps us to mature in God. You know, the Bible, we read how the Bible tells us that there's babes in Christ. If you've been saved by the grace of God recently, you've just been born again, you're a babe in Christ. So they need the milk of the Word, for they're not ready to chew on the meat. They've not developed strong enough bones and strong enough teeth to get that meat there and chew on it. They've not developed enough of a sense of knowledge or enough spiritual understanding to search out the truth and the deepness of God. I like what we did last Sunday in conference, how we set out a Bible 101 class. You know, we got an advanced Sunday school class. We got a Bible 101. I'm thankful for that, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God can do with that. But I'm afraid so many times that even those of us who are fully grown in Christ, well, I'm not going to say fully grown, because you're not going to be fully grown in Christ until you get to the other side. But those of us who have matured over through the years, I'm afraid sometimes that whenever I get to the meat, see, the Bible tells us in Revelation that there was a man who ate the Word of God, and it was bitter. And you know, sometimes whenever I try to be closer to the Lord and try to search out the truths of God and try to bear fruit like what I'm supposed to, sometimes I get this taste of bitterness. Not because God's bitter, but because I am shown my own wickedness. I am shown my own faults, my own failures. And sometimes when I taste that bitterness, I go back and say, I don't think I'm ready for the meat just yet. I think I need to stay on the milk. I don't think I'm ready to go that far. But you see, my mind goes back to the saints of old that I grew up underneath. They rejoice, you know, when the man of God stood up and preached the word in power and in spirit of the demonstration of God. And how the word, sometimes it wasn't pleasant, but you could tell that it pricked the saved individual's hearts because of something that they had done and throughout that week, or something that they've been struggling with. I wouldn't see them get mad at the preacher, but yet I would rather see them rejoice in God because God just shown them what they were missing. Folks, sometimes I'm afraid I get too mad at God when He shows me my own faults, my own selfishness, my own filthy rags. Because I get this mindset, oh, I deserve better. Oh, I'm thankful. You know, haven't you heard somebody say, I'm thankful I'm not them? Heart full of pride is what that is. Folks, sometimes when I get a little closer to the Lord, I'm showing my own pride. And you know what it reveals to me? Brother Scott, I can't serve God with my heart full of pride. I have to realize that in John 15, that when Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, without me you can do nothing, I have to realize that that is exactly what He said. I can't do anything without Him. I can't walk. I can't pray. I can't study. I can't go to my job unless God is right there with me. I can't bear fruit unless I am first in Jesus Christ. We try. I know I do. I try to go about my own way, seeing what all I can do. And there's been a couple times throughout the times that I started preaching. See, whenever I first started preaching, I would get so upset. I would get so discouraged because it seemed like each sermon I preached was, it was 2 to 3 minutes long. That was it. I grew up underneath a preacher who didn't know when to shut his mouth. And so I grew up underneath a preacher who preached about 2 hours long. You know, and I grew up underneath all that. And whenever I started and I would preach 2 to 3 minutes, I would just get so discouraged and so hateful within my own self. But what it was I needed growing up spiritually. I needed maturing. You see, I tried for a couple months whenever I started preaching. You know, I tried throughout the week. I wouldn't pray and I wouldn't study until bright and early Sunday morning. And then I'd get up to preach, maybe that night appointments or on the radio that I was doing for the church at the time. And guess what? I would fall flat on my face because I didn't know nothing. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. There's still times that I feel like I fall flat on my face. But it's not God's fault. That's my own fault. Because I didn't spend time with Him throughout the week. I didn't spend time studying. I didn't spend time praying down on my knees talking to Him. We read in Romans how the Bible tells us, I believe it's the 8th chapter, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You know what I found out, brothers and sisters, is that me being on my knees on a day-to-day basis is spiritually good for me. If I ever want to see my tree to start bearing fruit, guess what? I need to be planted next to the river of waters. If I needed to see my tree start bearing some fruit, I need some sunlight. You see, I believe that there are scientists who say, and I might be wrong when I say this. That's okay, you're just going to have to excuse me. But I think that the scientists say that the sun, it produces, when our bodies are in the sunlight, you know, it causes our bodies to produce vitamin C or vitamin D. I don't know. But I can tell you this, it helps our body out, you know. But I can tell you this too, folks. Spiritually, we need to spend some time not in the S-U-N, but we need to spend some time with the S-O-N. We need to spend some time in that sunlight. We don't need to try to get this earthly vitamin. What we need some vitamin J. We need some vitamin Jesus. Folks, you might worry about the kind of fruit that you're bearing. You might even be asking, well, am I bearing fruit? Well, that all depends on how much time you spend with God. You see, now the Bible even tells us there in the 15th chapter of John that even those that bear fruit, they're purged. They're cleansed through the Word of God. You see, after we've been saved by the grace of God, people and theologians use this term,
regeneration. We're regenerated in God. And I agree with that. But after the born-again experience, then comes a process of sanctification. And that is a process that will never stop until the good Lord calls us home. A process of sanctification. A process of separating ourselves from the world. Of purging ourselves. Of cleaning ourselves. Because that's the only way that we can produce good fruits unto God. Is making sure that we're clean. Making sure that we're in Him. And we're by Him. And everything that we do it for Him. For His honor and glory. See, I was even thinking over in Revelation. There, I believe it's the 14th chapter. But I was thinking about how in that 13th verse talks about the saints that God has already called home to glory. But, see, it doesn't say that the works that they've done, they're dead. But it says that their works that they have done, they follow after them. I can't tell you how many times that I've spent reading a sermon that a preacher preached 100 or 200 years ago. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to old recordings of preachers who have gone on, and yet the things that they have taught and stood for have still impacted my life today. I can't tell you how many times the saints of old that I grew up underneath, how they diligently served God. They had a zealousness in them to see lost people saved and to see the work of God done. They've gone home, but I can tell you what, that's left an impact on me. Their works still follow them, folks. We can look on this plaque about how many pastors have served this church. From Brother Mike Broach to Man Lewis Holland and Jonathan Elliott. No, they're gone. Now I know Jonathan's not gone. He's gone from Columbus, but though they're gone, their works still follow after them. In Hebrews chapter 12, how it says that we are compassed so great with a cloud of witnesses for us to just keep going on. Folks, let me tell you, there have been so many witnesses in my life that when I look back, I'm so compassed. I'm surrounded by them. I'm surrounded by their works. I'm surrounded by what they taught me. I'm surrounded by the faithful lives that they have lived and the fruits that they bore while they were on this earth. And you know what? Whenever I get discouraged and downtrodden, I look back at that and it encourages me. It encourages me to keep going. It encourages me to make sure that I am not only rooted in Christ Jesus, but I am deeply rooted in Him. For through Him comes all my nutrients to be able to be sustained with. We read in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, about how there was this garden there. It was a garden that was enclosed. But in the song there, it's telling us how I believe it was the bride speaking. And it said, "Awake, O Northland." And you see, and in this garden is all kinds of nice, not just plants, but all kinds of spices and herbs in there. That when blown upon, they have a sweet smell
with them. And it says in Song of Solomon chapter 4 and 16, it says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." You see, I'm thankful that God's Spirit still dwells with us today and still moves with His people. And you know, and I think that is the distinction, that when people come into the house of God, that they can make a distinction between the people of God and the people that's out there in the world, is the Spirit that blows upon the people and moves on them. It brings out a sweet scent. It brings out a scent that is quite different than the garden that this world has. But you see, we're not called to be like the world. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We're called to be a chosen people, a royal generation, a royal priesthood, and a peculiar people. Are our fruits peculiar? What does that mean, preacher? See, we read, now when John the Baptist asked for fruits meant for repentance, he was asking for evidence. And I think today that those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, there needs to be an evidence in there to distinguish us. What is that evidence? Well, you see, when one wishes to join the Lord's church, they have to bring forth evidence, a time and place where they were saved by the grace of God. That was a fruit. That's one of our fruits today, folks. It's an evidence that has been planted within us. In Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." There is something that the people of God need to confess about. And you might say, "Well now, preacher, nobody is concerned about the things of God anymore." That's okay. Let that happen, but still testify the Lord's goodness. Not saying, "Now, preacher, so-and-so's not going to come." That's okay. You don't worry about so-and-so, but you worry about what you can do for God. I'm afraid so many times we sit back. I sit back because I'm so worried. "Lord, what's so-and-so going to think about me? Lord, what's so-and-so going to think about me?" You know, sometimes I'll get a little discouraged too. Say, "Lord, so-and-so's not here. The Lord crowd, the one it was last Sunday." That's okay. We need to put that on the shelf. Put that behind us. Because you know what that does? That discourages the people of God. We need to put that on the shelf, put it behind us, and press toward the mark of the high calling of God. We need to bear fruit for Him. You see, saved individual, whenever they first get saved, yeah, they've got that fruit, that evidence of a time and place. But folks, it don't just stop there. They need to continue growing in God. I need to continue growing in God. You need to continue growing in God. Brother Merrill said it perfectly in Sunday school. We can get as close to God as we want to. Amen. The only thing
is me. The only thing that's stopping Micah Barber from being closer to Jesus is Micah Barber. The only thing that's stopping you from being closer to Jesus is you. What did Jesus say? He said, if any man wish to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. And it took me quite some time, Brother Merle, but I realized whenever I really paid attention, self-denial came first. It came first before you even think about picking up that cross. We need to deny self, and we need to start honor and glorify God. Crucify the flesh. Crucify the things of this world. Put the flesh in subjection to the things of the Spirit of God, because this flesh at the end of the day does not matter.
No.
Not one bit. The works that I've done on this earth physically, my car, my house, my job, my money, that's just going to burn up. That's temporary. I don't need to consume myself with things that are temporary, but yet I need to be consumed of the things that God said is eternal. I need to make sure my tree is planted right next to God.
So I said earlier, there is a song that I've just been humming, and it's entitled, What Will I Leave Behind? See, I'm able to say and to wish today that when I pass from this life, I don't want people mourning. I really don't, because I'm going to a better place. But I don't want them thinking, oh, Micah Barber, he was just a man, and I was. But I want them to know that Micah Barber loved God. And I hope people can see that. What will I leave behind? Not only do we need to leave behind testimonies that God saved our soul, but we need to leave behind good fruit for God. And you see, sometimes in fruit, I thought I was going to be done. But you see, sometimes in fruit, you know, you ever open some up, in vegetables, you know, you can, or fruit mainly, but you can find that there's seeds in them. And in some seeds, you can replant those in the garden, it can flourish back up. Folks, we have been given the gospel seed to sow in this world. Ecclesiastes 11, in the morning sow thy seed. Sow it. Jesus said that there was going to be some kinds of grounds that it was going to fall on. It was going to be falling on stony ground. It was going to fall on soft ground. But folks, Jesus didn't say worry about the ground that it was going to fall on. He just said go out there and sow the seed. And after it's been sown, somebody needs to come behind and water the seed. And God will give the increase. Ecclesiastes 11 and 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper. Sometimes we might question why God moves on our hearts to do certain things. That's okay. I think that's just human nature. But you know what? The Word of God, it's not going to return back into a void. I think that many times I get so discouraged whenever I get done preaching and I just ask God,
that it just would not return to him void. And he already said it wouldn't. But you don't know what kind of seed or what kind of seed you could go and throw in, and it's going to prosper.
Amen.
You don't know whether or not it's going to prosper. That's when it's up to us to leave it in the hands of God and have God to just do with it as he pleases. Oh, how many times I would love to see the people that I've testified and witnessed to on a day-to-day basis to come in the house of God and to hear his word and for them to know God and to be part of sin. But you know what? All I can do is do the itty-bitty thing that God has placed in my heart, and after that, let God's Spirit deal with it. Leave it up in the hands of God. You don't know whether or not it's going to prosper. That's what Ecclesiastes said. You don't know whether it's going to prosper. Just throw it out there and leave it in God's hands. Another thing that us trees that we can do in God's garden, I know it's Thanksgiving time, but we need to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praises to God Almighty. That could be another fruit. That could be another distinction between the people of God. But as my thoughts are leaving me and my burden has left my heart for this morning, I'm done. And I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. But folks, let us bear fruit. Not just any kind of fruit, but let us bear good fruit for God. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Let us all stand and sing this morning. Sing praises to God. And while we're doing so, maybe we might need to ponder about the words that was said in our hearts. Or might need to ask, God, what is it that I can do for you? See, sometimes we'll come in the house of God and just come in just to sit through the services and through the motion. But folks, we need to be about God's business while we're here. Sister Rachel.